time once again for Community Forum, and we are very lucky to have with us live in the studios this morning Molly Gibbs and Catherine Keys. Molly Gibbs is with Move to Amend Olympia, and Catherine Keys is with Move to Amend Olympia and Public Citizen, and they're both in here to talk about Move to Amend Olympia and upcoming event this next coming Saturday, a week from today. So, Molly and Catherine, thank you very much for coming and spending time with us this morning.
Thanks, Mike.
So, start out, tell us about what is Move to Amend Olympia.
Well, Move to Amend Olympia is a cross-section of interesting people who've come together with a concern about the growing power of corporations in our country. And we have been paying a lot of attention to what's going on with budget cuts nationally and then at the state level and locally. I got involved about six, eight years ago with a group of people who started the Move to Amend movement in Eureka, California, which is where I used to live. So I met David Cobb many years ago, and I remember the first time I went to a training in Eureka, I was just a bit overwhelmed by the legal aspects and all the information that he had at the time. And at that point, I really didn't know what on earth I was going to do with all this overwhelming information. But as things have progressed, I think last year we saw some major changes that have brought together a real powerful movement. I was in Madison in late August, and it was a wonderful experience. There were fabulous speakers from Free Speech for People, John Clements, and all kinds of people were present for that event, George Friday, and just many eloquent people who've been involved in the movement in all parts of the country. So I think there's a coming together that has really bonded with the Occupy movement. And when you have the understanding that what we all have in common is a real concern about the government and who's in charge of the government and who is not. So to pull together the people in Olympia hasn't been too difficult, because if you're in the environmental movement and you're watching what's going on with the XL pipeline, the coal trains, we've found to our astonishment, actually will have a train that goes through Olympia, which really threw me for a loop. But when you get together with people in local communities, we now have people from all along the Columbia River Gorge and then out into Hoquiam, felt a real strong bond with a man named Arnie Martin out in Hoquiam. I went to visit him in October, I think, last year. The coal trains wind up on that particular route. It would go through Hoquiam, and so to take coal from Wyoming area and get that coal out to a port in Hoquiam is a long journey with 144 trains filled with coal, and they can't cover the trains because then it would be explosive, flammable. And it's just remarkable. Arnie could tell me exactly how many pounds of coal dust, you know, are dumped all along the route. And then ultimately, when you get there, I'm driving through downtown Hoquiam, and you see the poverty in the town is just heartbreaking. Signs pro-development, cut down the forests here, we need jobs. And that whole hook that has been so effectively used, where you hear on the radio, the local city council is talking about coal trains mean jobs. And they do not mean jobs. We all know that, because I've met with people from all over the country who have been dealing with oil fracking, all of these different, you know, energy industries that promise clean energy and jobs for local people. And they never, ever hire local people to do this work. But anyway, I go to meet with Arnie, and the thing that just is stunning in this particular case, he moved to Hoquiam when he retired because he's an avid bird watcher. He's the director of the Grays Harbor Audubon Society. And he had written a beautiful article in their local publication, which got me really engaged. And where they would dump the coal in Hoquiam is literally right across from a nationally known peregrine falcon reserve. So all of the peregrine falcons, the birds, the fish, the sea, all the sea life in right in that area, just within a stone's throw of where they're going to dump all this coal, it'll destroy all of the critters. And the environmental impact is just stunning. So this is kind of bringing a lot of people together from the environmental movement. And then locally, you know, we have our local folks in Olympia who are just really concerned about what's going on with the budget. And it's easy to pull people into this.
Pulling that back to the move to amend concept is that what Molly is talking about is corporate control of the decision-making process of government at all levels, local, state, and federal. And when corporations control the discussion and the decision-making, then the decisions are made not necessarily in the interests of people who have social considerations at stake, but only corporations, which have only one thing in mind, and that's profit. And not just profit in a global sense, but profit as determined on a quarterly basis. And it's that quarterly determination of profit margin that's kind of tearing this country apart environmentally. But that's where we need to have the move to amend effort is to amend the Constitution to the effect that it is declared in distinction from the Supreme Court's decision in Citizens United versus FEC, corporations are not people with constitutional rights of persons, and money is not speech. It's those two concepts that have unleashed unlimited corporate control of the public discussions that are had with regards to all issues, whether it's jobs, environment, whatever. It's all controlled by corporations now.
Yeah, I think we've been on kind of a journey with this connect the dots idea. You know, once you really understand what it means to have corporations able to exert any mission that they have, which is always connected to making money for shareholders. And we just are living at a time when the corruption is at an extreme. And especially in terms of the actual dollar amounts being spent and earned, it's hard to take in. We have corporations are at a point where they truly control what happens on all levels of our political system. Elections is a really good example. Right now, we're faced with a system whereby it really doesn't matter anymore at the top who is elected, because behind the election, the power running the show belongs to a handful of people, 9 or 10 families, banking industry specifically, is really running everything. And I think with the Occupy movement, they've made that so clear. So it's been, you know, we're working like hand in glove. We work together really well. We have local people working on all kinds of protests with regard to the different banks. I kind of smile when I walk by and you see all the security people in front of the banks now. But I think what's critical is 80% of the public oppose Citizens United. They understand that what's happening is that constitutions, again, do not have the rights of living people. Nowhere in our Constitution, corporations don't have the living rights of people. There are three things that stick out in my mind as we've done some review of Supreme Court cases over 125 years. It's very clear to me that there are three things that are never, ever mentioned in the Constitution. Corporations are not mentioned. Slavery is never mentioned, and democracy is not mentioned ever. So it's been a real interesting time of for me going back as a history major in high school, my first year of college, there is so much, if you go back and really do a review of the Supreme Court cases. We started in about 125 years ago looking at a series of course cases called the railroad cases. Santa Clara County versus Southern Pacific Railroad was one of the first in those 4 years. There were a four-year period from about 1882 to 1886. And what's really interesting about Santa Clara is there was a an aide. They would be called a court clerk. And the court clerk in that case had his own agenda. And it's, you know, in terms of, always the question is, what is the role of the Supreme Court justice? And then you look at what was happening then. The Supreme Court justice in that case, and the clerk himself, they worked for the railroad. And so we've had this precedent. The real precedent here is what that role has been for many, many years. You have people sometimes on the Supreme Court who are part of this evolving loop. We see it in D.C. today. There were 60,000 people a few years ago were identified as having been employed by a major corporation. They then become a lobbyist, and then they rotate into regulation. You know, and what does regulation do these days? Regulation exists to support the corporations. So I'm diverging a bit here for a minute, but hang with me. If the issue is mercury and setting a level of mercury, the level is set at no greater than 10%, you know, whatever the percentage is. It's bogus because any level of mercury is a health hazard. But we have this whole precedent that I became very aware of working for Department of Ecology. And so the law is set to protect the corporation, not to protect the people. And I'm really clear about that in terms of my work experience. But folding back for a minute to what was happening 125 years ago, I think the real that whole term of precedent in this first case was critical for corporate personhood, because the corporation was never mentioned, and the discussion about personhood was a discussion in the court decision, but it was just a discussion. It was not part of the case. The whole case had to do with property taxes, period. End of sentence.
I can shed some light on that.
Go ahead.
I just read that. There's a good description of the sequencing in Santa Clara in Tom Hartman's book, Unequal Protection. And what happened is this. When you have a lawsuit, especially on appeal, the attorneys will come up with as many different arguments as they can to support their point of view in the hopes that the court making the decision will seize upon at least one of those to make their decision in your favor. And there were a number of those arguments made by the railroad in the Santa Clara decisions. It came out of a California case regarding taxes for fences on railroad property or some silly little thing. But one of the arguments that the railroad was making that was that a railroad corporation is a person in the sense of the constitutional right to constitutional liberty, like freedom of speech and freedom from stuff like that. But anyway, there was a discussion almost off the record between the judges and the attorneys with regard to corporate personhood, and the Chief Justice Waite made the comment that, well, we believe they are. Here. But that was a comment made in a conversation away from the decision-making process. But the court clerk, who makes what they call head notes, for every case that's printed has these head notes, so you can kind of do your legal research, and here's the head note, you go to that section of the decision, you can read about what you're looking for, made a comment in a head note, corporations are persons in the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
That
became the precedent.
Was never said in the written decision, if it's only in the headnote, but because it's in the headnote, it has insinuated itself into the warp and the woof of the fabric of our law. And it's not the case. It was just conversation.
So we've kind of gone through this ever since. It really set the precedent for a number of rulings that all gave 1st, 4th, 5th, 6th,
14th.
7th, and 14th Amendment rights to Absolutely. Corporations. And one of the things we do that our local Move to Amend Olympia does, we have a very interactive training where we lay out a timeline on the floor, and we start with this one court case and then come all the way up to the present. Takes about an hour and a half to do just a high-level, you know, overview. But essentially bringing us up to the present and what's happening and why all the fervor and support today, I think we can look at, like, Buckley versus Valeo, and that was a really critical case in 1976 where the Supreme Court ruled that political money is the equivalent of speech. So it becomes really clear that we have serious problems. The Austin versus Michigan Chamber of Commerce case was pretty critical. The Supreme Court upheld limitations on corporate spending in candidate elections, set a precedent. First Amendment rights can be infringed if the state has a compelling interest. So there's just this ongoing set of rulings that has brought us to where we are today. But the excitement is 80% of American people, there were several polls that started with a CNN poll, and 76% of Republicans, 81% of independents, and 84% of Democrats weighed in as opposed to corporations having the rights of people. So this is something that has been very empowering to this movement, because it's a nonpartisan issue, and that, I think, is the saving grace. We can speak with small business people and have a rich conversation about what's happening locally, and small businesses are really being hurt by the tax structure in our country. Taxation on large incomes has fallen dramatically over the last few decades. And we have a real intense time for people struggling to make it. It takes over 5 years for a small business to make any profit whatsoever. And it's gotten harder and harder because there just isn't funding at the local level anymore. So you can look at the problems we're having at the state level with TANF being cut, low income assistance being cut, all funding for critical health care. We know that students are really hurting. Young people are incredibly, just coming out of school with a huge debt, $40,000 or more, and then trying to look at what kind of job you can get. It's a very, very difficult time for so many people. So I think that's why we're able to attract folks.
So the question is, how do we get that word out to people that they need to take action? And that, I think, kind of gets us over to the event that we're having next Saturday in Tacoma.
Yeah.
This Get Money Out of Politics event that we talked about before we went on.
Mm. Oh, and we can talk. I think I'm really looking forward to this event because it's the art of bringing together theater and poetry. We
music.
Have, great music that where people have, you know, written their own lyrics, and we have just a variety of music. We have Dixieland, swing,
blues. We'll have
blues, yeah.
Unless it rains.
No. Well, that just goes with the
blues.
You'll
have more blues.
Exactly.
So, but clarify for me. So, Move to Amend is specifically looking at an amendment to the Constitution,
yes,
correct?
Yes, it
That's
is.
How you see the solution here to all this.
For me, I'd like to say, and I'm interested, Katie, in what you're thinking, too, because I know we both have some ideas about what we want to do as a goal of this event, how to get more people involved. I think, for me, the Move to Amend is phase one, and then phase two is a community bill of rights, but that's that's another, we won't go too much into that. Mm. But amendment to the Constitution is something that we're asking local city councils to do. And as they look at it, it's what I think of as a low risk, easy thing to do. If I look at what's going on with the City of Olympia budget, and I know what some of the most difficult decisions are facing our city councils this year. It's really, I think the stuff that's been going on with the state for 3 years is really hitting cities extra hard. So when you know that your whole agenda for the year is pretty grim, this is positive and upbeat, and it's bipartisan.
There's something important about getting as many cities, communities, counties, and states to start passing these resolutions that oppose the result of Citizens United, and it is this. One of the comments made by Justice Kennedy in the majority opinion was that, and the opinion is full of these observations, they're just sort of conclusions that they reach without any substantive or factual basis, but they say, we don't believe that the infusion of corporate money into elections is going to make people unhappy with our democracy. They won't lose faith in our democracy. Well, that's not the case. And the thing is, there's a possibility that there's going to be an opportunity for the court to review Citizens United as a result of a case coming out of Montana. But the point is that if we can mount a groundswell, more than a groundswell, a tidal wave of public opinion, public governmental opinion from cities to counties to states saying we don't like this situation, then the court can't say that. They'd be faced, if they have an opportunity to review Citizens United as a result of this Montana case, which I'll explain in a second, then they're going to have to say, well, gosh, this is actually changing the public perception and the public confidence in elections locally, regionally, and federally. The case out of Montana is that Montana has had a law on the books for over a century. Corporations cannot contribute to political campaigns, whether it's a politician or just something to vote on. That law is necessarily rendered obsolete by Citizens United. But Montana, to their credit, said, nope, we still like our law, and that's what's going to be. Mm-hmm. Well, it was challenged, and, of course, it had to be deep-sixed. But that's wending its way up to the Supreme Court, and that's the case that's going to force them to reconsider Citizens United. So our work between now, and it could come soon. It could come within a few months because it said they can accept review or not. And I think the court has already suggested that this might be the opportunity to review Citizens United. And so it's important for all of us to really get the word out to get this action underway to get these resolutions passed locally and regionally.
You know, that's reminded me in our studies, I've realized that it's really hopeful to review the dissenting justices' opinions. There have been some marvelous reasoned statements that have come from the dissenting justices. And this is what Katie's referring to. We're hoping that Ginsburg and Breyer will lead the way in this review. It's possible. We'll see.
And how many cities or municipalities have passed this already?
127. We had just 2 days ago, I heard from the National Move to Amend folks that 50 cities in Vermont passed a resolution en masse.
That's great.
It was so fun. Of course, Bernie Sanders has been very, instrumental in that. But well, and those are townships. I think they tend to call those townships.
My job with Public Citizen is to try to get virtually all of the cities and communities in Pierce County to pass those kinds of resolutions. And then there's other people. I mean, Move to Amend, or Public Citizen has about 2,500 activists like myself nationwide working on this project, right, among their many other projects. But this is a huge project for Public Citizen.
Yeah. There were a thousand of us in Madison who went to be trained last August. And many of those people have been successful. Some of my friends have already passed resolutions. Scott Silber in Boulder stands out in my mind. He's gone on to do a very interesting piece of work. He has a website called nationalintervention.org, O-R-G. Scott has put together an interesting video clip. He is concerned about addiction to power and is framing it in just that way. We have to make an intervention.
How much time left?
Just a couple minutes.
I wanted to, in the sense of urging people to come to Tacoma next week, the event is going to start with some Dixieland funeral music. We have people portraying the nine justices, the five majority and the four minority justices, Supreme Court justices. We have a giant Clarence Thomas puppet. It's a three-person puppet. It takes three people to manipulate it. We have the corporate robots. We have what we call corporate goons who are going to be kind of pushing around Lady Liberty and Lady Justice. We are going to have them bury liberty and justice, which is what's happening with the corporate events. There's going to be a dialogue between Justice Kennedy and Justice Stevens, who wrote the dissent. There's going to be a saving of liberty and justice by members of the audience, resurrect them, and more music and speeches and more music and...
Katie, let me...
should be a good day.
Let me... I'm sorry to interrupt, but real quickly, everybody, we really, really want to see folks here. It's going to be wonderful. It starts at noon on March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. We're at Tollefson Plaza. It's a great place for a stage event, and it's right across the street from Tacoma Art Museum. We are hoping for good weather. Come and join us. This is a great family event. There's something for everyone. There'll be children there. Bill Yake has written a poem for this occasion, a good friend and a nationally known poet. And when he reads, it will be stunning. So great music, and there's just going to be a lot of good information. Our speakers are brief, 3 minutes. And they're going to fire us up, and we're going to have people going away with a commitment to bringing about a resolution in Auburn, Puyallup, Federal Way, and Tacoma.
Forks.
Yeah.
And Forks.
Oh, and we have people coming from Orcas. We were doing training up on Orcas, Lopez, San Juan Island, and a carload of them are coming to join us, and they're all taking resolutions forward.
All right. And for people that can't make the event or outside of this area, what other resources are available to them about this issue?
Oh, go to our website, which is www.movetoamendolympia.org. We do events. We'll go out and work with people wherever they are around the state and support them with training. And we're always available by phone and email to help.
All right, and then the National Move to Amend, their website?
Yeah, it's www.movetoamend.org. Lots of information there, and they're redoing the website to make it easier to maneuver around.
And same with Public Citizen, publiccitizen.org, and then they can tie into local assistance. It'll probably lead to me to move things out, because at least for as far as Pierce County is concerned, but they've got people in other cities as well. In the state of Washington, so you know, there'll be plenty of support for these two websites combined. Should give them enough information to get moving in their local communities.
All right, I'm just about out of time talking with Molly Gibbs and Catherine Keyes, both with Move to Amend Olympia, and Catherine Keyes with Public Citizen. And time and place one last time for the event.
Great, it's March 17th, Tollefson Plaza. Starts at noon and is complete at 3 p.m.
Very good. Well, with that, we are unfortunately out of time. I want to thank you both for coming in and spending time with us this morning.
Thank you, Mike.
Again, just talking with Molly Gibbs and Catherine Keyes, both with Move to Amend Olympia and Public Citizen. And you can find out more about Move to Amend Olympia at their website, movetoamendolympia.org.